L-E-D-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell Coast to Coast in the biggest way possible right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have everybody with us on a Friday, a big summer Friday on C2C. Although I will say, not a football-free summer Friday because there's college football tomorrow, week zero. Get ready. Big kickoff in Dublin at the Aviva between Florida State and Georgia Tech. We've got that and much more. Tons of baseball tonight. Lots of stuff to look at from last night. We got the golf going on, which I'll get to in a moment. We have got NFL preseason action. Very full slate for me here today. And I will have joining me later, was going to be the mayor of Miami. You'll see him now on Game Time Decisions coming up later on. But Joe Pisapia is going to be hanging out coming up a little later this hour. And he'll be rolling with me on C2C today. So can't wait to get Joe involved in a little bit. Who else are we getting involved today? Well, we always get Gabe Morenci involved in the first hour, Sports Rage Late Night. He will be with us. I'll go over a lot of the college football action with Gabe here today. Also, Gino Bacola from the Daily Racing Form. Big Saturday ahead at Saratoga. We will get all the action from Gino heading into a huge racing weekend. Top of the second hour, Coach Terry Bowden, who is going to be with us every Friday on Coast to Coast during the college football season. Well, like I said, that starts today. Coach Terry Bowden will be with me, and we'll talk about this weekend's games, start to get maybe look ahead to next week with some really big matchups. So we'll talk to Coach then. And in the final hour, Adam Kaplan, our Sports Grid NFL insider, will be with us. Little double shot with Adam heading into the weekend with the final stretch of these NFL preseason games, which are tough. I will say, I think I forget who I said it to yesterday. Might have been Joe, might have been Gabe. I forget, but you know they ran that 79% under to you all week long, every site, 79% to the under in the preseason. Now everybody's betting the under. Everybody's in on the under. Well, what happened? Both games went over last night in the NFL preseason. both games went over. So you got three more games tonight. You got tons of games coming up tomorrow as well. We will give you all the numbers for those. Only live action that we have here on a Friday afternoon is, of course, the BMW Championship out in Castle Rock, Colorado. Round number two going as we speak, and you already have had a course record shot today. How about this? A 9-under-63 from Adam Scott as he checks in at the clubhouse at 13-under-par. He's currently got a 5-shot lead over Alex Noren, who is also in the clubhouse. He shot 4-under today. Keegan Bradley, of course, was the first round leader yesterday. He's at 7-under. He's 1-under through 6. You've got Corey Connors involved, Siwoo Kim, Xander Schauffele just had a bad bogey, got him, dropped him back to 5-under. And Wyndham Clark, who had just a, you talk about a seesaw day for Wyndham. I think his entire back nine, he didn't have 1-4. He had a bunch of threes, he had a bunch of sixes. Didn't have 1-4, maybe a 5 thrown in there as well. That's wild to not have a 4 on your card for an entire 9-hole stretch. But Wyndham Clark did not do that yesterday. He's 4-under today. He's fought himself back into the top 10 as we speak. Lots of guys having a rough time out there as well, including I just saw Rory throw a club in the water after he teed off. I don't know what hole he was. I think 13 or 14. And Rory just chucked one in. He's actually on 17. And he's, believe it or not, he's putting for birdie here. It's a long birdie, and he missed it. So he'll probably par this hole, which started with him throwing the club. And the other big story there today was Hideki Matsuyama, who had to withdraw with the back injuries. Now, his back wasn't feeling too good this morning. And that's always, you know, that's always tough with Hideki. He's done this a lot in the past. If he wakes up and that back's not feeling right, he don't care. He's not going to go. And also, he also knows it doesn't really matter what he does this week. He won last week. Huge win for him. He's going to be at East Lake next week no matter what for the Tour Championship. Probably figures an extra 3 days of rest in my back that's not feeling too good. But, man, if you had Matsuyama, this is the last week for most people's one-and-done contests, etc. If you took Matsuyama this week, DFS, anything, that's tough, especially with only 50 golfers on the field and he played so well a week ago. And how about our boy Keith Stewart from Read the Line, who's out there? He, of course, has Adam Scott. Gave you that the other day at the 13-under. And we told you Nelly Korda, who had a ridiculous 16-1 laid up over at the ladies' British Open at the at St. Andrews. And she is in the lead after two rounds with an 8-under. So a great day for Nelly Korda. That was nice to wake up to this morning. As she's in great position for the weekend. So nice job with Keith, as he's got leaders right now in both of the tournaments. That's why you watch Golf Wednesdays on C2C, to get yourself ready for stuff like this. All right, so we have the golf. We'll keep our eyes on it as we continue to go. We'll go all through all the baseball. There wasn't much last night, but we will talk about Skeens, who, as you know, me and Scotty are very interested and invested in, more ways than one for me. 6 shutout innings, 8 strikeouts, only gave up 2 hits. If I could just get Paul Skeens to do that every start that the Pirates give him the rest of the year, I think we'll be in good shape and we'll cross the line, provided that Jackson Merrill doesn't keep hitting, you know, like game-tying home runs in the 9th inning. But that's the kind of stuff, you know, they only let him throw, I think it was 85, 86 pitches, 6 shutout against the Reds. Just keep giving us that, Paul. And we will get you that NL Rookie of the Year at the end of the season, which I think that people, as long as he finishes the year, I still believe. I know the odds say differently, and we're going to give you the updated odds today after his performance last night. I know the odds say the gap's been closed and Merrill's passed him. I just still believe if Skeens goes the whole way and he has nights like last night that he's going to be there. 15 games in Major League Baseball tonight. We will get through all of those with you. Some pretty good matchups as well. You've got Philadelphia into Kansas City against the Royals. Interesting series there. Houston and Baltimore, after Houston beat up Corbin Burns last night. Nice job by the Astros on the road at Camden. Atlanta now, after beating the Phillies last night, they've got that to within 6. They're in. They're going to be taking on Washington at home this weekend. The Mets got a big win in San Diego last night. They are still out there tonight. Dodgers have been red hot as they have the Rays in town. Of course, Seattle's first game after firing Scott Service yesterday. After a miserable road trip, they're home for the Giants. So we'll see what they can get cooking tonight in baseball, all the games. And we got the Taters tonight. And look, we had a real hot couple weeks with the home runs. I'll be the first to say it's been icy this week. We've had one here, one there. But Friday nights have been good to us. Feel real good about the slate tonight. Feel real good about the pitchers that we have going tonight. I've sent a couple notes to Rob at the league office. Please, could you put the good balls back in play? Get the dead balls out? Because it's not even like, it's just not the big names aren't homering. Like, it just feels like every night this week, it's been low with homers across the league. Let's put the good balls in play, Rob. The NFL's starting in a week or two. I mean, you got to keep the eyes on baseball. We want Taters, Rob. Let's go. So we'll do that. We have all the NFL. Last night, only two games. I thought the most significant thing last night was Anthony Richardson, who, yes, threw a touchdown pass to A.D. Mitchell, but also threw an awful pick six to the Bengals. So, look, most starters don't play in that last preseason game. If they're playing you, there's a reason for it. You know, they want to get you a little bit more gas. I'm not telling you that Anthony Richardson's not going to be the starter for the Colts, which I think at one point last night, Herb Street was trying to sell you with Joe Flacco now being there. But that was an ugly one, that pick six by Anthony Richardson. The Bears won. They went undefeated. So Joey Prawns, Joe Lisi got what he wanted, which was an undefeated preseason by the Bears to ramp the hype up a little bit more for them heading into the season, although I don't think you could possibly do that anyway. So lots of NFL today, lots of baseball today. College football starts tomorrow. A lot going on. We got the golf, too. Gabe Morenci will get it started with us next. Coast to Coast on a Friday. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Friday. Carver High in for Scotty on SportsGrid and SportsGrid Radio. Great to have everybody with us. Of course, Gabe Morenci's with us every day on C2C. And you can catch Sports Rage late night, weeknights at 10 p.m. East, right here on the grid. Gabe, good to see you as always. I know that we've kind of talked a little bit this week. I have with you, Scotty has with you, about some of these games that are coming up tomorrow. But it really is, Gabe, it's the first Football Friday of the year. Whether you like it or not, I know it's only four or five dopey week zero games. But it's back, Gabe. It's time. It's a Football Friday, and we got games tomorrow. I'm pumped, Gabe. Let's go.
Yeah, it's really amazing, isn't it, that it's actually here, because it felt so far away. And for those of you that feel like the NFL season is still a little ways away, we'll be kicking off. We're kicking off in less than 2 weeks in the National Football League, right? But 13 days now until the Chiefs and the Ravens. We've got that Friday night game the following night, which is really unique. And listen, man, this is the appetizer, Carver. I always say every journey needs to begin with, you know, the first steps. And it's like sitting down in a restaurant. You know what I mean? Georgia Tech and Florida State. It's a nice chicken wing app we've got going on. You know what I'm saying? Sort of like you got some apps. And then next Saturday, listen, there's games on Thursday and Friday next week as well in college football. But next Saturday is lit. It's almost like right off the top, boom, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Georgia, Clemson. We have all these big-time games in week one, but I'm fired up. We're ready to go. And this is a big game for Florida State. We're talking about a conference game here between Georgia Tech and Florida State. We're on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets in this football game, Carver. We know how good they were as an underdog last year, 7-2 against the spread as a dog. But they also ended the season strong as well, right? They've got a great young coach in Brent Key. They've got a great play caller. I like Haynes King at the quarterback position. 27 touchdowns last year, 16 interceptions with another year under his belt as a starter. I think he'll cut down some of the picks, and I expect a couple of more TD passes. So, in other words, I think Haynes King is going to have a big year in this offense for them. Florida State are super good, though, guys. You know, they lost a lot of players to the National Football League. They're changing. Florida State are changing the way they're going to play this year a little bit. Last year, you had Keon Coleman, who's now on our Buffalo Bills. Keon Coleman's a big dude. Johnny Wilson, Carver, was 6'7", the other wide receiver that they had. Travis used to just sort of throw it up there and they would go get it. He wasn't the most accurate quarterback. Now you've got DJU. They're going to look to run the ball. They love their running backs. They love their offensive line. So I look for Florida to be a little bit more smash mouth this year. But this ACC conference, very interesting. But with all that being stated, we're sticking to our guns. We're taking the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets plus the double-digit points. And we're going to go over the number. And I tell you what, Carver, you notice this line movement in Montana State game. And I'm glad. Keep betting it up because I'm on the underdog in this game, Carver, and the point spread's getting crazy here now.
It really is getting crazy now. Like you said, this has gone to 13.5 now. Money line for New Mexico is at plus 420. The total's at 54.5. Look, this is a spot. I know Montana State is very good, Gabe, in the FCS. They're where they make the playoffs every year. They've got a little bit of a high-powered attack, but you know, usually when Bronco Mendenhall gets to places for the first time, you know, he turns them around. You see a quick uptick with him wherever he goes, Boise, Virginia, etc. They turn it around fairly. I don't think New Mexico is going to be as awful as they've been the last couple years. I think Bronco is going to have him ready to play, especially at home, right out of the gate.
All they need to do is pick up a couple of first downs on each drive. We're not really even asking to put too many points up on the board. It's all just about chewing up the clock in this football game. And I actually like the under of this game because of that, Carver. Mm. Right? Listen, man, this is their first game of the year for both teams. You think, like, what, Montana State's just going to roll in here and hang 55 on them? Montana State are an FCS team, guys. All right? And they're not this overreaction. They're not even the best FCS team. Yeah, they're good. They're a good football team. But they're an FCS team now laying double digits and up to nearly two full converted touchdowns right now. I keep on hitting refresh. I'm like, did half the team get suspended or arrested?
Right.
In New Mexico, did something happen? Am I missing something? And I don't see anything. It just seems to be money coming in right now. But let's be real. These are like, you know, it's like betting the first bowl games, Carver. You know what I'm saying?
It's really good tricky.
Bowl games coming up.
Doesn't
mean you have to bet on every side and every total of everything all day long. But, you know, people are fired up for this, so we're going to. Let's be real. Right?
You're going to get more action on New Mexico and Montana State tomorrow than you will in any of their games probably the rest of the year. I mean,
it's the last time people even know they play.
This is a prime spot for them.
This is the only time Delaware State's ever going to get talked about, Carver, right? Delaware State will not be talked about for the rest of, like, until next year, until they're going on the road again.
Did all the planes get there yet, Gabe? Did they get all three or four planes over to Hawaii yet? Is everyone there for the Hornets?
Up to 40 now. I'm laying the points, Carver. Generally, I like to be that. Yeah, generally, I like to be sort of that, you know, so-called sharp and want to be the smartest guy in the room. You'll see this Delaware State team better than you think, right? They lost 57-0 to Army. They lost 62-20 to Miami of Ohio. How is this going to work out for them? And one thing that Hawaii actually is good at is putting points up on the board. They've got an experienced quarterback. Their offense is back. They're going to put points up on, like, just point blank. And I don't think Delaware State's going to be able to keep up. Like I said, I'd like to talk myself into it. But I actually do believe that Hawaii are going to get into the 50s, man. And I don't think Delaware State's going to score more than 10.
And usually Hawaii's playing someone, you know, was better than them in this opening game at home. Like, there was supposed to be Oregon. We talked about this the other day. Like, when do they get a chance to actually put a whooping on someone at home to start the season? Like, it never happens. And I think Tim
old school
Jagan,
Hawaii
all those beat guys
down.
Know that too.
Yeah, like the old days.
I think they're
going to
do it.
We're going to smoke you.
More with Gabe right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Friday. Carver High in for Scotty on Sports Grid at Sports Grid Radio. Gabe Morenci's with us. Sports Rage late night, every weeknight, 10 p.m. East, right here on the grid. All right, Gabe. So we were kind of going on Hawaii there. So you're laying it with the I got 39.5 for it right now where I'm seeing it. So we're going to lay it with Hawaii. You involved with the total at all? I've seen it go down to 55.5 from that board that we have.
No, I'd almost rather, there's always a debate. What's the best way to approach it, right?
Hey, win 45-3.
Exactly. I kind of know Hawaii you're going to get to the 40s, right? So I don't have to worry. That's the whole point. You take the over, let's say Hawaii wins 49-3, like Carver just said, 54-0, 51-0. And these teams, as you said, listen, man, if I was on Hawaii, I'd be way happier to know I'm playing Delaware State than Oregon. I already have enough tough games. We're playing tough games later. I don't need to be
playing
impressed.
UCLA next week.
I got my ass kicked by the Ducks, and I can tell my buddies I played the Ducks. No. if you want to set the tone as well for the offense moving forward, sort of like SMU as well. SMU are going into the ACC. They have some money, and they wanted in badly, so badly into the ACC. They're not even getting paid for the first 7 years, which is pretty insane. Yeah. They begged to get in, basically, a bigger conference. And they're like, listen, if you want to join us, fine, but we're not even going to pay you for 7 years. And they're like, okay, sure. They're that. So thing is, though, because SMU have money. They do have some rich NIL boosters. Yeah. It's Dallas. So they've got some cash. So they were like, all right, don't worry about the money. Let's build this thing up and just wreak havoc on everybody and build this program up. So they've talked a big game, and I'm sure you've heard it, Carver. SMU this, SMU that. I think they're cream puffs, bro. I don't buy into them. But Nevada are literally, top three bottom team in the country, Carver. Look at the win totals, guys, for this year. Their win total is 2.5.
And they're already down a quarterback, too. They're already down a quarterback, also. The guy who was going to play quarterback with them is hurt. They got... is not playing. Like, they are going to be, as you just said, one of the worst teams in college football this year.
No energy, Carver. Think about New Mexico. We talked about New Mexico. You got Bronco Mendenhall. You got a good basketball program. You have a new athletic director, dude. The guy was at Louisville before. Patino was just praising him and go, this guy wins wherever he goes. He's going to put it together. You already see. You got Mendenhall in here. So if you're a New Mexico, fan, student, booster, you're going to the game. This is the start of a new era. You know what? This is cool. We got a credible coach. We're moving forward. If you're a Nevada kid and you're a Nevada fan, we used to have Colin Kaepernick. We used to have Cody Fajardo. We used to, win 10-game member, bro. We were, one of the best teams in the Mountain West and kill teams. People would be like, oh, God, we got to go to Reno. That fast-track offense they play up there. We're in trouble. Reno would mess you up. Right? Big altitude? Dude, they're a laughing stock now, Nevada. So, it's going to be... no one's going to be in the stadium. It's not like SMU are going into a tough road environment. That's my point. It's back up to 26. It was 24.5. It's back up to 26 right now. So I would get in if you're going to bet it, guys, because to me, I think they're going to win by about 27, 28, 30 points. So I wouldn't want to get too higher than laying 26.5 that we see on the screen now.
I mean, even 3 years ago, they had that Carson Strong in Nevada, and they were a pretty good team, and they have just completely sank. The Norvell, he ran down to Colorado State, he left them in the cold.
Chris Ault. Was that the guy? That was the guy, Chris Ault. Yeah. There was a coach. It went from 10-2, 9-3, 8-4
no
to 3-8, 3-9.
No,
and now Carver, UNLV are good. UNLV are actually good. They're okay. No, they're pretty good, actually, UNLV.
Yeah. 1 minute. Any NFL preseason you got your eye on? You noticed both overs last night, Gabe, after the 79% the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think that trend is going to continue, Carver, actually. My advice is you kind of stay away from these last preseason games. You know why these games go over? It leads to chaos. You've got, guys that aren't even going to be on the team on the field. Like last night, you know why the game went over? Because Buddy on the Colts on a 3rd and 4 with a 1:40 left, trying to kill the clock, ran it for 40 yards for a touchdown because no one could tackle Carver. So bad players on the field late can lead to sort of points, and the coaches don't care. They're just looking at the clock. They're like, this kid's getting cut anyways. I don't care. Be careful with these last preseason games. They really don't matter to anybody. But I do like the Raiders tonight. Plus the 9. Sorry. Raiders plus 9.
Raiders! SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Friday. Carver High in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have everybody with us here today, and great to have back. Had him for a few minutes yesterday, and the good news is I'm going to have him for a lot longer than that today, as he's going to hang with me here for the duration, or at least through the middle of the last hour, and that is our good friend Joe Pisapia, of course, Fantasy Sports Today, Sunday mornings, right here on the grid, including every Sunday morning once the NFL season gets kicking, which is very important. You got to wake up and see Joe. And make sure you got all your lineups ready to rock for that day. Joe, good to see you again, buddy. How are you?
It's good to be back, brother. I got the call late last night, you know, packed the bag, got on the plane. Actually, no, I did none of those things. I just said, okay, sure. I love hanging out with Carver, and I'll see you in the afternoon. So that all worked out very well. Where is Scotty Farrell, by the way?
He's been off the last couple of days. He's off this
for
week.
Him.
It's basically, Joe, it's one of those things where it's the end of the summer before, you know, school starts, football season starts. And we, you know, our like real new season starts that Tuesday after Labor Day, like everybody else. And so, you know how these last 2 weeks go, like he's off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. I'm off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. He's off again
That's
Thursday,
what I'm
Friday
doing.
Next week.
I'm off like next week a couple days. I'm going to find you on the off days. We're going to go have a couple of cocktails together that we're going to do.
You're going to find me chasing two kids around Hershey Park on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So that's where you'll find me earlier in the week. And I could probably use that by the end of the night. So I would use that after chasing them around.
Chocolate that's martinis for Carver, everybody.
Yes, that's exactly right. So, Joe, here's what we'll do today. Of course, not only we're going to do a lot of football with Joe. I got a lot of fantasy stuff, a lot of stuff connected to all the preseason games. But we're first going to do the baseball because we have a big slate tonight. Everybody's in action on a Friday, which we always love. But I have a few things from last night we have to attend to first. Pirates beat the Reds 7-0. And, Joe, I'll give you a little catch-up here, Joe. Obviously, Farrell is a huge Pirate fan. He loves the Pittsburgh Pirates. So he loves Paul Skeens. He loves everything about him. I have a ticket on Skeens to win the NL Rookie of the Year, which is actually also attached to Judge and Scooble for MVP and Cy Young from back in May. So I got a nice ticket on Paul Skeens that I thought was going to be in really good shape a couple of weeks ago, and now we're going to be sweating big time. Skeens last night, Joe, 6 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 8 strikeouts, the kind of performance that guys like me are going to need from him with the limited amount of innings and starts that he's going to get. Now, they say they're still going to start him, but it's going to be like last night, 85 pitches, 6 innings, and they're going to get him out of there. What do you think, Joe? I mean, he's gone back to minus 120 at least after last night. At least he's the favorite again.
Well, he never should have not been the favorite. And if he's just going to go back to last night and he gets 85 pitches and 8 strikeouts and, you know, a few shutout innings in there, I think we're going to be just fine. Look, Jackson Merrill has had a really good season. I don't want to take anything away from what he's done. He's been a big part of that Padres hanging in there in the West. And the difference here is that, again, it's a media award. I always come down to the same things when I look at baseball futures. And baseball futures are pushed even more into the narrative, I think, than anything else. Sometimes the NFL ones get a little lazy, but the MLB would love to get the narrative across. And Skeens is the narrative. He started the All-Star game. He's, you know, the new face of baseball or the new mustache of baseball, however you want to put it. And this guy has single-handedly, I think, in a lot of ways, really raised the profile for a lot of casual fans. You know, all those Pittsburgh Pirate fans that didn't have a lot to cheer about in a very long time. Now, all of a sudden, they've got Paul Skeens. And I think that even if he does get limited, as we all knew this was coming eventually, the body of work is incredible. If he had the same amount of innings as everybody else right now, he's about 50 off the lead of innings where Scooble is. He'd be leading the league in ERA. Okay, he's at a 2.16. Scooble, I believe, is at 2.54 right now currently. So we're talking about a guy who has not just been good, he's been dominant. And he's been one of the best stories, if not the best story in baseball outside of maybe Aaron Judge. Maybe we can go to there. So I do believe this is their last opportunity to be able to jump back into the Skeens situation at a decent number here at minus 120, because Jackson Merrill, good player, profile nationally, I struggle with that. Churio's had a great second half too. I know he's, you know, really starting to come on, which is great, but the first half was so bad, I just think it hurt him so much there. To me, it's still Skeens to lose, and I don't think he's going to. I think this is your last chance, and that ticket, I think, is going to pay for a lot of chocolate cake for you and your family over at Hershey this week.
Yeah, let's hope so, Joe. And I think you're right. A lot of this is, these things get, they change by the day sometimes because of the media and the narrative that surrounds said players. We're coming off of a couple week stretch where the Padres were one of the two hottest teams in baseball, them and the Diamondbacks, playing absolutely on fire. You had Merrill in a bunch of those games hitting huge game-tying homers in the ninth, bases clearing double the other night, you know, huge catch that one game to end the game in the ninth inning. Like, those are, like you said, the moments that everybody's seeing that. And they're seeing those singular moments, and they're going, oh, wow, this guy's a rookie. And Skeens, oh, there's talk they're going to shut him down. There's talk they're going to do this. And that boosts him up. Now, if the Padres go back to what the Padres were in April and May, and suddenly you're not getting those singular highlights from Jackson Merrill hitting huge homers in the ninth, I'm not saying Skeens is going to get back to minus 1,500 like he was 3 weeks ago, but I think you're right, Joe. You're going to start to see a little expand it out. To where, once again, Skeens will be comfortable maybe for us. But he's got to keep pitching, Joe. I think you're with me on that. They can't say on September 7th, you know, we're done for the year. I think he does have to make those starts and keep going.
I don't know, Carver. I mean, I think if he got all the way past Labor Day, I don't think it matters. I think if he ended up with a sub 2.5 ERA and a whip still under one, by the time we turn the page into, you know, maybe a week after Labor Day, and they said, you know what, we're just not going to do it anymore, we're not going to push him, I still think it's his to lose. And look, the Padres have been a good story. The Dodgers pitching is something that, going back to March, I talked about on our show, that continued to pound the table and talk about, look, Tyler Glasnow is really interesting. The rest of this rotation has a lot of issues. Age issues with guys like Kershaw, guys who haven't really proven it. I know they made the move for Flaherty at the trade deadline, but you know, you see the Padres continue to hang in there, and that was the one team all year that I kept saying, watch the Padres. My co-host for Fantasy Pros MLB2 had a ticket early in the year and a very big number for Jackson Merrill. He's a big prospect guy, and he said, look, I'm telling you, this Jackson Merrill guy is going to make a difference, and he has, especially considering Tatis missing significant time in that season. The fact that the Padres are even where they are in this conversation tells you that, again, the Dodgers were not as invincible as everybody made them out to be for the most part, and we were one of those contrarians on our show, and the Padres are one of those teams that we thought would hang in it, and they have, and it's become a really interesting now four games just separating those two teams. It's kind of stunning at this point.
And last thing on this, and we'll move on. Let's also remember, those odds are done, you know, they're probably going to get smashed if Skeens wins the NL Rookie of the Year. The books are going to get smashed probably,
right,
if Skeens wins. They've got to find a way to get a little money back and making them make the appearance that it's closer than maybe it is. Because, Joe, I think if you took the 30 or 50, however many it is, writers that are assigned to the NL Rookie of the Year this year, and you polled them silently, I don't think it's as close as that odds board is. I think it's more along where me and you are in terms of the people who are actually
100%
going to vote on that award. I think that that's probably where it lies.
I think it's a -250, -300. If you ask me to set the line for Skeens, that's what I'd be setting it at. So the fact that it's -120 in a lot of spots right now, I mean, you jump on it because it makes sense. And if you want to pair with something else that you feel pretty confident again, go for it. But we shouldn't be too surprised either. You know, with Skeens being one of these college pitchers, and we've seen this, you know, more often in recent years too, these guys are just developed at a higher level. They tend to fly through the minor league system. So keep that in mind too, because there's going to be some guys in the next couple of years that are also going to make that jump within a year or less to the major leagues. And that is something that's really changing in the last 5 years of Major League Baseball. So those guys that are the draft picks, you know, we're not waiting 5-6 years anymore for them to show up.
I feel better after talking to Joe. I knew that was going to happen. I knew I'd feel better after talking to Joe. All right, we'll come back. We'll just clean up a couple of the things from last night around the majors. Thrill Coast to Coast on a Friday. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Friday. Carver High and Joe Pisapia in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have everybody with us here today. All right, Joe, a couple other things from last night. First, start of a big four-game series in Baltimore between the Astros and the Orioles. You figure Orioles coming in having the pitching advantage in game number one. Corbin Burns on the mound. No, Joe. That is not how it went. 6-0 Astros with the win. Shea Whitcomb getting involved on Fox last night.
2-2 for Burns. Base hit off the bat of Whitcomb. Two-run score. It is now 6-0 Houston.
There you go. Kenny on Fox getting involved in Baltimore. Astros, Joe, red hot. It's amazing to me with the Astros. They had all these teams, Seattle, Texas. They could have buried Houston in April and May with how awful they played and the start that they got out to. But we all said it. I'm sure you said it on your shows. We said it here on Coast to Coast. They're letting the Astros hang around and have life. Like four games, five games. Like it's just letting them hang. Eventually, they're going to burn past everybody. And that's precisely what's happened. And now they're just going to run away and hide the last month. It's sick, Joe, that they were so bad in April and May. And they're going to have the NL West wrapped up potentially like by September, you know, Labor Day, September 10th, right in that area.
It's very possible. We talked about this at the right before the All-Star break. I want to say somewhere on July 4th where I said, look, now's the time to be betting the Astros because it's been doom and gloom. But this is a veteran team and they know what to do. They flip the switch in the second half and they know what they've got to figure out and the kinks they've got to work out. Oh, the Kyle Tucker situation to him missing all that time. That was a real killer for this team, not to mention Verlander and a couple other injuries they had to the pitching staff too. They lost Javier earlier in the year. And let's not forget too, Hunter Brown was abysmal for the first month of the season too. So they had a lot of rotation issues, a lot of health issues all together for that team collectively. But what you have to always put your stock into is veteran leadership and veteran teams. And eventually those teams, they know what they've got to do at a certain point in the season in order to flip that switch, like I said, and get into the playoffs. Now, getting to a point where they're 5.5 games up on Seattle where they are now, that is an indictment of the laziness of the Seattle organization and the front office. And I've been pounding the table about this for the entire offseason. Teoscar Hernandez left, and everybody thought, well, you know, Teoscar Hernandez isn't a special player. And it's not that he's not a special player. You needed some line of protection for Julio Rodriguez. The offense was abysmal. They were number one on the board about a month ago on pitching and ERA and team ERA. They were 28th in baseball in runs scored. You cannot sustain that kind of model. You have to score runs to win major league games. And the Seattle Mariners, frankly, just hadn't done enough to get enough bodies in that lineup and line of protection for Julio. Julio struggled. All of a sudden, it gets worse. You start compounding it mentally. And then, of course, yeah, eventually you bring in a Rosarena, and that's great that he's going to be there next year. But you got to bring in more than that, too. You have to assemble an actual offense as good as this pitching is. I thought it would carry them. I thought they would be more aggressive in the season besides just a Rosarena. But, you know, it's too little too late right now when you've seen the Astros just blow by everybody.
Yeah, Teoscar Hernandez is really good. And Mitch Garver and Luke Raley doesn't quite replace Teoscar Hernandez. That's not, I mean, he's not Barry Bonds, but you need to do a little bit better than Mitch Garver and Luke Raley if you're going to replace Teoscar Hernandez, which is what they tried to do there in Seattle. And now they've chopped the manager. Service got fired yesterday, so he's finished. And now they'll probably miss the playoffs altogether with all of that. But they're looking for the big spark after doing it. The Braves beat the Phillies 3-2. Braves really needed a sweep here against the Phillies to really make some ground. They were down 7 going into the first game. They do win 2 out of 3, but they're still 6 games back of Philly, who's just kind of been plodding along for a while here. Adam Duvall, with all the injuries for the Braves, they need somebody else to step up. It was Duvall last night, also on Fox.
That ball's cracked into left center field, way back there to the wall. It goes and clears the fence. Sparse playing time, but Duvall hits a rocket out of here.
You know, Joe, I don't feel particularly good about either of those teams right now in the NL East. I know how great the Phillies were for the first 3 months, and it's kind of like reverse of the Braves last year, right? Like they built up such a cushion with how well they've played that they can kind of coast – to the end, it seems like, and win the NL East, but how's that going to serve them in October if all these other teams like the Padres and the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers continue to play so well? I'm not very impressed, and I like the Phillies. I've got a couple tickets on them, but I haven't been impressed with them, and neither the Braves. They've got too many injuries.
Well, look, the Braves, yes, too many injuries. Strider, Acuna, Riley now. I mean, Ozzie Albies for a significant period, yeah, too. It's just everything that could possibly be, you know, the worst-case scenario for them. And to their credit, they've still been competitive. Chris Sale's pitched like a Cy Young this year. You've had other guys step up into that void. It took Austin Riley a long time to get hot, and then he got hurt, too. It's just, it's one of those things where it just felt like a year where the Braves just could never really get everything going. However, I'm still good about the Phillies, and I'm also somebody that has a lot of tickets. That was my World Series going into the year, too. It was Phillies and Orioles, and I've got a lot of the Phillies to win the World Series. I'm not worried about them at all. It was nice that they actually, for once, got off to a hot start in the first few months of the season, as opposed to being miserable and having to dig themselves out of that giant hole. What the Phillies have is something almost no other Major League Baseball team has, which is a distinct home field advantage. That place in October is going to be rocking and rolling. It's going to be loud. It's going to be boisterous. It's going to be a lot of four-letter words and a lot of things that maybe you should have some earmuffs for the kids if you're going to take them to the stadium. It's a tough place to play. There's not a lot of spots like that anymore in Major League Baseball. So the Phillies have that going for them. And the fact that they don't have a juggernaut Braves team or, frankly, a Dodger team that can even paste together a rotation right now, I'm not too worried about them in the National League, to be honest with you. I think this is a perfect time to be a little bit, you know, maybe behind, a little slow on things, just kind of, like you said, coast. They're 5-5 over the last 10 games, and then figure it out, get hot at the right time in September, and roll into the playoffs. This team has a focus, and the focus is at the end of the tunnel. It's not so much in the dog days of August.
Oh, and you're right about them at the bank. They're going to have a big advantage there. It's one of the few sports where you could still have a home field advantage. I think it's kind of disappeared in things like the NBA, the NHL. You know, you don't have it. But in Major League Baseball, you do still have it, and the Phillies are one of those teams. All right, Joe, I'm going to still bring up Vientos with you. I didn't get to the Mets and Padres. It's the only game I haven't touched. Before we do tonight's games, I do want to hear your thoughts about Vientos, who's been excellent for the Mets, especially over the last 2 months. So we'll do that. I'll come back. I got Gino Bacola from the Daily Racing Forum. I got Coach Bowden for all the college football. Joe will be back with me in hour number two. Coast to coast on a Friday. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Friday. Carver High in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have everybody with us here today. Of course, every Friday, it is great to talk to our man Gino Bacola from the Daily Racing Forum. As we get ready, Gino, good to see you, my man, for a big weekend at Saratoga. It's Travers weekend, lots of huge races. This is why we got you, my man. We want to get loaded up for Saturday, baby. What's happening?
I got a few for you today, Mike. Great to be talking to you. It's nice that Scott gets to have a little vacation time and toss back a few toddies, I'm sure. So hopefully we'll send him some winners to everybody out there who's kicking back and watching. As you pointed out, Saturday, August 24th, that is going to be Travers Day. Tomorrow, 5 grade one races all in a row that lead you into the Travers. So the Travers is going to be race number 13. I'll get everybody some winners in the races leading you right into the Travers. So if they're playing that pick five, it's like a parlay of the 5 races all into the Travers. I'll give you a couple of the horses that I like right before that. So in race number 11 at Saratoga, we're going to look at the number 5 Run Classic. This is a real distance specialist horse. This is a horse who didn't want to go too far, can't go too short. He needs that real tricky in-between distance, and that's what we're getting this week on Saturday, Mike. We're getting 7 furlongs for Run Classic. He's going to make his second start back after a little bit of break. So basically, like, he's primed for this race. This was the race they circled on the calendar. He's going to run a really big one, and we got him at he's 5-1 on the morning line in race number 11 on Saturday.
Race number 11 on Saturday, number 5, Run Classic. Who's riding Run Classic? I always need the jockey, Gino. What do we got on Run Classic?
When we're, so at Run Classic on Saturday, we have let me pull up my past performances here.
That's fine.
No. Don't worry. Don't worry. I got it for you. I got it. We were right in the middle. Javi Castellano, who's won Travers, and he's had huge, huge days. Because for me, I'm more of a trip player, so a lot of the times I'm not necessarily as concerned every time with just betting jock, because a lot of the times the big jocks like the Irad Ortiz Juniors, we're not going to be able to get good enough prices on. So Run Classic, Javi aboard. We're going to make our second start back off the bench at 5-1. That's going to be race number 11 on Saturday.
Hey. Javi at 5-1 sounds great to me, right. Gino. That's always a good one. All right, race number 12.
And we're going to the number 2, Speakeasy. This was a horse who won really early in the year. He was kind of touted as one of the better three-year-olds. We thought we were going to see this horse in races like the Kentucky Derby. Then, unfortunately, he had an incident when he was getting ready for a race at Gulfstream Park in Florida, and he got hurt that day, and we hadn't seen him for months. He showed back up a month ago, and he looked really, really good. Now, he's going to make his second start back after a break. That's the number 2, Speakeasy. He is 8-1 on the morning line, and he actually has that top jock, Irad Ortiz Jr. aboard, but it's such a wide open race, Mike, there's probably going to be a bunch of horses that are all about 5 or 6-1. We'll lean on the number 2, Speakeasy.
And before I head to Del Mar, for the actual Travers race, I know we got a couple horses that were in the Derby. We have some things like who's the chalk in that? Who's the favorite? And who do you like quickly? Who do you like in that one?
Dornick and Fierceness,
Dornick.
Sierra Leone. Yeah. Those are the three horses that we probably all know. Dornick won the Belmont. Dornick won the Haskell. Sierra Leone was the runner-up in the Kentucky Derby. Fierceness was actually the Kentucky Derby favorite, and he just came back and won the Jim Dandy most recently. So those are the big three in there. They're going to vie for favoritism. They're going to take a lot of the money. Dornick's 5-2. Fierceness is 3-1. Sierra Leone is 7-2. Honestly, any one of them could end up favored. And I actually think the number 4, Corporate Power, if you're playing the Travers, throw that horse in. He's 15-1 on the morning line. He actually has a legitimate shot to hit the board at a big price. I think all the favorites are a little bit vulnerable in there. So we're going to throw in the 4 at a nice price of 15-1.
All right, let's get out to Del Mar. We got two races there, the 3 and the 9. What are we looking at out in Cali?
Race number 3, we have a big price for you, the 7, Ready to Pounce. This horse is 15-1 on the morning line. He's moving from races in the Midwest out to the West Coast. He's just been facing a lot better, and now he's going to go west. His running style is a little bit of a deep closer, so he needs a little racing luck, Mike. So that's going to be in race number 3. Then in the feature race at Del Mar, we go to Happy Jack. Happy Jack is 8-1 on the morning line, and he's a horse who has some speed. He can also come off the pace. So those are our couple over at Del Mar.
And Gino always throws us an NFL win total here before the season starts. And let me tell you, Gino, this one's right up my alley. We were talking about this week. The Browns, Gino, which way are you going?
Yeah, under 8.5, they're in a tough division. We don't know what's going on with Watson. They're coming off of injuries last year with Chubb. We're already hearing a lot of banged up players in the training camp and in spring training. So for me, I'm going under there, Mike. Good luck to everyone. Go to drf.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.